Welcome to the Parenting is Hard Work podcast. I'm Dr. Scott Taransky. I'm grateful to be with you again today. It is our desire to regularly present to you biblical, practical advice that you can put into practice right away. Sometimes we make some broad statements of things that can happen in any family. Sometimes we work on specific issues that come up. If you have questions or specific ideas, share them with us so that we can then address them on upcoming podcasts. Now, Elena, I just want to welcome you today. Elena Fletslot is from the Netherlands, and she and I do these podcasts together. Welcome today, Elena.
Hi, Dr. Scott. Yes, it's really great to be together. And in fact, the podcast today, it's based on some inspiration I got from some parents from our church, which are parenting teenagers. And as many parents of teenagers probably know, it's important to coach their children and their children on how to develop good relationships and how to break from bad relationships. And because the Bible does say that who our friendships are going to really influence our life and our future. So Dr. Scott, I'm really curious and interested to hear all your wisdom on your experience as a parent as well, but also as parenting coach, as a pastor, on how to help teenagers or young people to develop healthy relationships. But then when it gets, let's say, to a point where they need to make a decision, how can we coach them through that?
Yeah, that's a good question. And of course, 1 Corinthians 15:33 says bad company corrupts good character. And we know that there are bad relationships out there. And when a young person has a friend who's bringing them down or leading them in a wrong direction, sometimes those children don't have the internal strength to make that decision themselves. Mm-hmm. They need the support and help of parents who are willing to step in and take some kind of action. Now, coaching them is great if we can come alongside them and say, hey, let's talk about this relationship, and the child comes to a realization, yes, this isn't the best. That happens sometimes. And then we're using a relationship tool and an interactive tool to help a child come to their own conclusion that this relationship isn't productive for me. I need to get out of it. There are other times when parents need to step in and be more firm, because children aren't able to make the decisions themselves. And we see that the child's going in the wrong direction. This is a bad thing that's taking place, and it's getting worse. And the child's unwilling, because mm-hmm. they like something about this relationship, they're unwilling to break it off. So then we have to exert more influence in the form of firmness to try to exert some action here. I like to say to young people when I talk to them that we tend to choose friendships based on something we want drawn out of us. If you want to laugh, you choose someone who's funny. If you want to be sneaky, you might choose someone who's mischievous. If you like getting away with things, you might find someone else who's doing the same thing. If you're interested in sex, then you might find someone who's also interested in getting involved with you in that area. So we have to recognize that friendships are chosen for a reason. Mm. And we want our kids to be able to choose wise friendships. We should be talking about this from our time. Our children are very young, but as children get older, they're going to start making more decisions for themselves. And we want to influence those decisions as much as we can.
Yeah, I think that's such a critical delicate area where we cannot, we really need to indeed have a good relationship with our children to be able to coach them. My question is, Dr. Scott, how would you start a conversation, let's say that you need to intervene in your children's relationship in a more direct way? What do you have any specific guidance or maybe some advice on how to do that in a way that's respectful but also assertive enough as a parent?
Yeah, let's talk about some proactive solutions first. In other words, not waiting for the crisis that we have to create, but rather mm-hmm. what we're doing is we're just in general talking about successful relationships. And the Bible is a great tool for relationship success, which starts with our relationship with God himself. And then God gives lots of guidance and instructions about how we can relate to other people, both in a male-female relationship and with friendships in general. I think about Proverbs 22:24, which says, don't make friends with an angry person. And it's so important. You know, if you're just going to get hurt, if you make friends with an angry person and that becomes a primary relationship for you, then it's just going to be damaging for you. So you have to be careful. I think these are the kind of conversations we have with young people on a proactive level. Certainly in the area of sexuality, we're having proactive discussions with them about this subject, so that when we do have a corrective conversation, it has some context.
Mm.
So let's be proactive first. And then when we do come to the corrective side of this, then we need to do this in a way that involves some wisdom. So I do think we're going to make some observations. We're going to confront. We're going to set limits. All of those things are going to be important. But I think we want to come to a child and say, let me explain to you something. That friendship you're having with that person seems to be dragging you down. I see that you're becoming more irritated with people at home. It seems to me that you're using more sarcasm and demeaning kinds of words than you were in the past. And it seems to me it's coming from this friend that you have. And that's a dangerous thing. I want you to think about it, because if you can't solve this problem and work on this, then I'm gonna step in and take some action here. So what we're doing is we're having a conversation. I don't know, we don't have to make threats to our children. We're trying to influence them to see, because sometimes young people cannot see it.
Hmm.
They can't see what's going on. They just live life in the present, and we give them some perspective from some outside source. And that's helpful for them to see, yeah, this might be a problem. I should do something about it. So that is our one of our goals here, is to communicate this information in advance. I do also think we need to be firm with kids. There's sometimes when a child says, I'm going to go hang over at Billy's house, we say, wait a minute. What you guys going to do over there?
Mm.
Because I think that going into another person's home may not be all that safe for our child. There are things that exist in other people's homes that we might not allow in our own home. So we want to set some limits in that regard and say, I'm sorry, you can't do that. Or if you want to do that, I need to talk to Billy's parents before you do that, because I want to explain to them what we do and don't do in our family, so that they're in agreement with that. So I think that that's all fair terminology and ways to handle these kind of situations as we're trying to help our children. I think that sometimes we're just going to say no to kids. I'm sorry, we're not going to go to that activity. You're not going to go to that party on Friday night where those parents aren't home. We're just not, that isn't something we do. Or I regularly encourage parents, don't do sleepovers.
Mm.
So sleeping over at grandma's house because you're going out of town for the weekend and you want to spend some time with your spouse. We don't do sleepovers, because sleepovers, bad things happen at sleepovers, because friends get together. They're not monitored many times at night. Then all kinds of bad things happen. And so I deal with that in my office, and I just say, parents, just don't do it. It's just not worth it. You think everything's safe because you know the family. Do you really know them? Do you know that there's a older brother that's in that home? And you know, you're going in a home and you got your girls staying over with their younger sister. You don't know what's going to happen over there. The best thing is sleep in your own beds at home. You want to spend the evening with the family, that's okay, but we all sleep in our own beds. So it's those kind of firmness choices that we make that I think influence families and family life greatly. And then they communicate these things to our children. Do our children accept those things? No. Are they willing to agree to them? Often not. But that doesn't stop us, because our goal is not always to please our children. Our goal is to help our children to grow up to be successful disciples of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't take but, you know, a bad decision that can alter the rest of your life as a young person. So we want to help guide them and correct them. And so we're trying to be very careful about the influences they spend time with.
Yeah, indeed. I think it's so crucial that we're paving the way in which we parent, the way in which we help them learn about how to grow relationships and how to make relationships, so we don't get to a point where we're in a crisis. And I also believe that the church going to a church where they can make friends, they can be in a group together with children or young people who think alike or are alike, can also encourage them and help them build stronger relationships. So that can also be a very good, you know, a very good way to maybe help them find friendships or find support in that context. Dr. Scott, what's your opinion about that?
Well, I do think a church is important. I remember one of my kids said, it's boring at church. I said, well, that's not an option. We're not trying to, we don't go there if it's just because it's not boring or something. You go there and make it exciting. You know, contribute to the place and make it better if you think it's boring. It's not usually boring because these people working with the young people are trying to do a good job. But sometimes kids use an excuse like that to try to manipulate their parents into making a different decision. I just think youth groups should be required for children. It's part of being part of a church. And a youth group's a great place for kids to hear the same messages we're telling them at home.
Yeah.
Just from other people. So, and yes, they can find some good friendships. That doesn't mean every kid that goes to youth group is a wholesome child we want our child spending time with, but you're going to find better pool of people in a youth group than you will in the school. So I would say, yeah, let's do what we can to get our kids in church and youth groups. Serving in church, I think, is also important and helpful for them.
Yeah, I was going to say, indeed, maybe using examples also from the Bible to help them, that what you mentioned before, to help them see how bad friendships influence and take us to the wrong road, but also to help them be more active and keep them engaged in activities which are helping build those kind of thoughts, you know, not just and it's not, it doesn't become something we say as parents, but something they develop through doing, through contributing. I notice also with my children, and they're very small, if I let them play, they get bored, and they, even though the house is full of toys, they come and tell me, oh, we don't know what to do, we're bored. And then I give them something to do, a task, I don't know, wipe the floor, or it's hard in the beginning, but it keeps them busy, and it actually makes it for them more constructive. So also, it may be a bit, maybe it may feel not connected, but I think children learn a lot about life in general by being engaged in activities and like you mentioned, Dr. Scott, contributing, whether it's in family, whether it's in church, being part and not just spectators sitting around and having only the privilege to comment and to make their own suggestions about things.
I agree with all of that. You know, one area that's important for us to discuss in this area of friendships is the whole issue of electronics. I think that some parents would be very strict or careful or vigilant about how their children handle friendships in life, but then give their kids a tablet or a cell phone, and that child has access to things that are dangerous.
Yeah.
In fact, I even have some parents that tell me, well, it's a safety thing. I want my child to have a cell phone. And I go, how are you managing the cell phone? Because there's a lot of dangers that exist for children with a cell phone that you want to be careful of. So I think we have to consider the electronics part. Maybe that's time, you know, an opportunity for a whole nother session to talk more about electronics. But I just feel like parents need to be willing to set the limits. And in our world today, parents get kind of drawn along by the fact that everybody should have this electronic and that electronic, and the school's going to give them a computer or a tablet or whatever it is. And I think it's important for us to know that there are some bad influence that exists out there through electronics that we want to limit for our children, even our young children. We need to limit those.
Yeah, indeed. I fully agree. I think it's such a non-negotiable sometimes with children nowadays, that at a certain age, they get their phone, they get their they already maybe use an iPad, and I see even at school with very young children, we are taking our son to a Christian school, and they already let children play on iPads, and it's something that we really need to manage in our own family, and we need to really think wisely about that. So let's indeed, Dr. Scott, good idea. Let's plan another episode in which we will dive a bit deeper into the electronic topic. I know you have had you have done a lot of work in this area, and if I'm not mistaken, you have even wrote a book on this topic.
Not on electronics itself, although there is a chapter in my new book that's coming mm-hmm. out sometime next year. This book about emotions in children, I mm-hmm. had to include one chapter about electronics because electronics affect kids' emotions so much. So
absolutely.
People hearing more about that, but. Mm. Yeah, I've done some significant work on this area of electronics and children, especially because it comes up in our coaching program regularly. Mm-hmm. Parents are often asking, what do we do about this? How do we manage this? Because we can't just turn it all off mm-hmm. in most situations because our children need to learn how to deal with electronics. But at the same time, knowing how to manage that is important. And most children do not have the internal character to mm-hmm. manage electronics wisely. So we end up with all kinds of problems. Parents can take a stand and can help with that. One more area about friendship I just want to say before we get done here, and that is this area of the parent-child relationship. I think that there's a lot to be said about not just having the authority in a home, which I think is mm-hmm. important, but also the companionship and the friendships that we enjoy. Mm-hmm. And sharing and interacting with kids on a friendship level is also strategic. So I would say... let's take advantage of what we have. I mean, if kids do have a cell phone, you're texting. Texting is a great way can be a great way for kids to communicate with parents and to tell them that we love them and to interface with them in the course of the day. So let's build the relationship we have between parents and children as well as we talk about this whole idea of influences and how to deal with them and friendships that experience in family life.
Yeah. Excellent advice, Dr. Scott. Thank you so much for all your input this evening. Thank you to the parents who are listening, and we encourage you to go through our archive of episodes and also have a look on the biblicalparenting.org website. There are so many resources out there. I'm sure you can find something that would benefit you and your children, whatever their age. Dr. Scott, are there any words of wisdom you would like to share with us before we close?
Yes, as our children get older, they make decisions, and some of them move away from the guidelines and wisdom that we have. And in those cases, we're doing a lot of praying. We may use some of the tools we talked about today, but I always pray for my kids, even as adult children now, that God will continue to bring them to godly friendships that will influence them to stay on the right path and do what's right. So praying for our kids in this area of friendships is so strategic. And I would encourage us to continue to pray and lift this up before the Lord.
Thank you, Dr. Scott, and thank you, everyone.